of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The federal agents informed the crowd that if they kept advancing, they would open fire on the crowd.
It was scary to think that shots could be fired. It definitely was scary. Everyone was thinking, could this be another Ruby Ridge? Could this be another Waco?
Fighting for Idaho.
We're starting to realize that we have a government with unlimited power.
The BLM come to decimate us and to reduce us to absolute despotism.
Fighting for you.
More than Kevin, I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you for real journalism.
Kevin, I just wanted to thank you for going to Nevada and getting the truth to us.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
You're the only talk show that I really listen to.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. The state of California, kind of crazy if you think about it. Kevin Miller with you here. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. I'm just reading off the Kevin Miller hot list, Monica's Revenge Edition. And you can't really see it, but I tell you, the photo that we have for it is well worth the additional clicks on the website. It's it's a very appropriate photo, if you will. Anyway, hope you get a chance to take a look at that. What the state of California, as I was just saying, is just crazy. Yesterday, which is a story we didn't get a chance to talk about, is you remember that song Night They Told Old Dixie Down? Remember that? And all the people were saying blah blah blah. Anyway, apparently in California they're considering a bill to ban the sale of the Confederate flag. And my friends, my fellow patriots, my true believers, you know, sometimes I'll sit back and I think I was doing this the other day with Dave Burnett when we were talking about race in the Manly Man section. No, we weren't racing. We were just talking about race itself. And sometimes we go deep. Sometimes we break all the rules of morning radio, and we actually want you to use your mind, your spirit, your heart, your feelings. And this is another time for that. Do you remember, and I will have to say, I will raise my right hand here and tell you folks, unfortunately, that I was one of the dopes that did back, I don't want to say wholeheartedly, the Patriot Act. I had an issue with it, that the government can look at my stuff, but they can't stop illegal aliens. You know, they're going to find out what I bought at Winco, which I don't know why anybody would want to know that, or what videos I'm watching at home, or who I'm friends with on Facebook and Twitter, and yet the illegals can run wild and free, and they don't have to show any ID at all and take and use our tax money to fund their lives. And that's one of the issues I had with the Patriot Act. But just as we've seen with the Patriot Act taking away our privacy, and I don't know how many of you have Netflix. What a marvelous invention Netflix is. For $9, you can get these movies and everything else. And I remember, again, another dumb Kevin Miller move 10 years ago or 7 years ago when my buddy was getting the Netflix in the mail, goes, hey, this is good. I go, that's a dumb idea. Who's gonna do that? But the Netflix thing is interesting. This whole House of Cards show. And finally, Kevin Miller joins the modern century. I'm watching this House of Cards. And in it, they have an issue where these reporters are trying to break a story. And they're right. But the government comes in and says, you know, you can fight us in court for the next 3 years and you'll be in jail and you'll have no money to do it. And that's how big and how powerful our government has become. Scary. Scary. So when I look at privacy and speech, we've lost the right to privacy, my friends. And thank God that we live in Idaho. Sure, we may not have the big fancy malls or the crime or the thugs, thankfully to our great friends in law enforcement that keep the pollutants out. Sure, we may have our challenges to come up with news stories. Hey, look, everybody, there's a new crosswalk. Or the lead story. I mean, where else in America? And for those of my friends that are listening from out of state, that's, you know, where else in America is the lead story the Meridian School District is, in fact, moving their bus schedule. I challenge you. I mean, that's big news here, that the buses are going to have to change their schedules and everything else. Everyone else is, you know, if it leads, it bleeds. And we're blessed to live here. But we're not, and I'm blessed to live here to be with you, because anywhere else, you see the eradication of tacos. Heck, you see our even our great conservative national folks, they don't touch a lot of big issues anymore. When's the last time anybody said, I don't believe in gay marriage? Ooh, that's controversial. This format was founded on it. They don't touch those things anymore. Clive and Bundy. It's funny, the Las Vegas talk station was afraid. The big bad Las Vegas talk, they were afraid to cover Clive and Bundy. They should be ashamed of themselves. But they're doing a smart move. You know, I can't fault them for that. But we went down there. You know why? Because it's a story. So I guess what I'm getting at here is when we're talking about first privacy goes and now expression. And we see it with Donald Sterling. We see it with Phil Robertson. We see it with Clive and Bundy. And it's called offensive speech. You know, people laugh when Governor Andrus starts feigning a faux heart attack because somebody misidentified him as a Republican, and Mr. Popke writes a big story about it, that it's fun, that it's thrilling, that it's exciting. I mean, is that against the law? Well, he's expressing himself. But why is it that we have this double standard? And I see it with the N-word. It breaks my heart. Where people can, you know, one group of folks can say the N-word or not. If you truly want equality, instead of saying bad things, you start saying good things about people. Look at the blessings of children. They're not born prejudiced. But now you hear you have a state that looks to ban the Confederate flag or ban the selling of it. Why? It's a part of our history. And the Confederate flag, whether you like it or not, and I see cars driving around here all the time with it, not as prevalent as we do in the Southland. But on the other hand, isn't that expression? So why in the world today would we be looking to ban expression? And that's exactly what the thought police are doing, as George Orwell talked about with Donald Sterling. Banning expression. And I sit to my and I think to myself, how many people like you, like me, are thinking critically in our world today about banning expression? Some words need to go the way of the dinosaur. Other words, not so much. At 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. But that's where it is. We are banning expression, and we're losing something. Each and every day, we lose a piece of our founding doctrine. And which, with each generation, we become more diluted. Isn't that what's happening? So I don't think that we should, you know, embrace what California is doing. Whether something is offensive or not, don't we as Americans have a right to say it? And then you have, again, the agenda-driven networks that all they're doing is promoting, well, he shouldn't be allowed to own the team. That should be taken away from him. If not, there's going to be violence. Aren't those threats? But because it's against racial intolerance, it's okay? And who are the standard bearers anymore? Who are the rock-solid conservatives? 10 years ago, I was battling Chris Matthews on Hardball and blah, blah, blah. Today, it's about cosmetically appealing females that have been in the game for 2 or 3 years that don't have a lot of life experience, unfortunately. It's about the sizzle and not the steak. So for you as a parent, have those kids put down the tablet and get out a book. For those of us that, because of our livelihood, we have to, you know, adopt to the ADD society, sit down and form a coherent sentence. That's what it's going to take, and it's not going to be easy. Let's get to some other topics here at 580KIDO. In the state of California, they're looking at a revolutionary way to raise revenue.
California pays a whole lot for gas. I mean, take a look at it here in this Burbank service station, 443. A lot of that is the state gas tax, which is one of the highest in the nation. Well, what if we were to tell you the state legislature is looking at doing away with that, instead coming up with pocket change and having you pay that for every mile you drive? It could mean billions for the state, but not everyone's buying in.
I bought a hybrid because of my drive.
Carmen Smith is one of the many Southern Californians who drive a hybrid or electric car, most of whom paid more for their car than they would have otherwise to get that better mileage. Now the California legislature is looking at a voluntary program that would eliminate the state's gas tax, which currently stands at 52.9 cents per gallon, second highest in the nation behind New York, and instead institute a vehicle miles travel tax, or VMT. The idea is just that, tax people for every mile they drive.
I'm very opposed. I drive to Brentwood every day from Burbank, and I'm already paying more than I should be.
California Senator Mark DeSaunier just introduced a bill to test out the VMT tax because the gas tax is no longer bringing in the revenue it used to, thanks to people here driving more fuel-efficient cars. The program is modeled after ones in both Oregon and Washington.
But we want to do as Washington and Oregon has done in a much bigger state with much longer commutes, much more impactful to our economy, to make sure that we find out whether it would work, whether the public would like it or not.
As for how much the tax would be, well, that's still up in the air. Oregon currently charges its volunteers 1.5 cents per mile.
So all of those things are be determined. We would let the agency determine that because this would be a voluntary program.
You know, if we go on vacation, we're driving up to Mammoth at 600 miles. We're being taxed on vacations.
Now, the state has not yet said how those volunteers will be selected or what city will be targeted to try this program out.
There you have it. So we have this situation in California where you would voluntarily pay a gas tax per mile. Now, that works out great if you're a retiree, if you don't drive around a lot. But for other folks, are we crazy? So here it is at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. As our gasoline prices rise again, why? I don't know. Why question it? Why question the greedy, grubby oil companies? And then we'll have people smacking me. What? That's our form of entertainment here in the morning at 580-KIDO. Think about that. A voluntary, who in their right mind would do it unless you don't drive a lot? A user fee. And here in the state of Idaho, and one thing that, and I'm not here to do anybody's job for anybody else, but if I were running for office, I would be coming out against, I would have a no new tax thing. If I were running for office, I would be challenging anyone who is currently holding office, sign my no new tax pledge. And we're not talking about a gas tax where we're, you know, to expand the state fuel tax next session either. But I'm not in politics, but our friend Mike Tracy is. We'll talk to him about that coming up. But at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, your thoughts on instituting that type of program that apparently is in Washington and Oregon and now on its way in California here. Would you be willing to do that and saving the A-10? Let's get you to work safely and on time.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never.
How about the A-10 platform? There's never been a question in my mind that it's going to go away. The question is, when?
Let's get it started.
Must Hear Radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
There you have it, two versions of the A-10 with a little Bill Clinton mixed in there. Let's go to O in Eagle at 580-KIDO. Good morning, O.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Living the dream.
Living the dream, brother. I was thinking about your California's tax here. In fact, I've even come up with a snappy name for it already, an acronym.
Sure.
It should be the VIT, I repeat, VIT tax, not VIP, Voluntary Idiot Tax.
No, that's a good one.
I mean, why would somebody just do this and donate their money? I mean, nobody's going to do it. If Obamacare was voluntary, nobody would have signed up for it.
Well, it does beg the question, though. What do you do about the high cost of gasoline?
Well, taxing people isn't going to add to the solution, I don't think. I mean, it's absurd.
Well, if you were running for office, you're an astute young man, what would be your platform? Would you come out as an anti-tax person? How would you, if you were running against Senator Fulcher and Governor Otter, what would you do?
I would absolutely do what you suggested. I mean, Americans are taxed. If you added up all of the federal, state, sales tax, property tax that you pay, it would be well over 50-60% of every dollar that you spend goes somewhere towards taxes.
Hmm. And finally, how's your premiere going? When's your big premiere?
It's coming along. I'm working with the local GOP group to maybe do a gig up at their state convention this year in Moscow.
Is that true? You're going to be the opening act for Senator Paul?
No. I'm it's a work in progress, brother.
Well, we need to break the news when you get your gig there.
There's a little schmoozing going on to make sure that's a good idea versus a bad idea. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, we're cheering for you. Let us know.
I will certainly do that, Mr. Kevin, and thank you for your time.
Oh, take care. Don't be a stranger.
All right, brother.
All Thanks. Right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Our great friend Owen Eagle, the conservative comedian. And when O makes it big, you could say that you heard him here first. Speaking of which, I'm glad Ray Amaya threw in that clip about Governor Otter, because finally, some folks are getting smart. And this is from The Hill, and we'll have this on our hot list here in a minute. The Air Force's efforts to retire its beloved A-10 Thunderbolt fleet took another blow Tuesday as GOP senators rejected a proposed House compromise that would put the aircraft into storage, apparently as part of the 2015 National Defense Authorization Act, would put the entire 283-plane fleet into a Type 1000 storage from which the Air Force could reactivate it if needed. Now, I love the Air Force. I love the military. So if you work for the Air Force, you're an Air Force veteran, let me apologize in advance and say these comments are not directed at you. Would someone please tell the dopes that are running the Air Force not to retire the A-10? The A-10, unlike the F-35 A, B, C, D, E, actually works. Now, remember 60 Minutes did that big piece? And the Air Force, and again, I was raised in an Air Force family. I love the Air Force, as I love all the military. But they have to be pretty dopey lately. And take a look at the leadership of the Air Force. The F-35 is a disaster. CBS just did an expose on the missile silos and how poorly they've been maintained. And I'm sure the folks at the Air Force didn't appreciate that. And now, trying to justify their positions, they're trying to get rid of the A-10. Now, I got to give it to Lindsey Graham, John McCain, and others that say, not so fast, my friend. Lindsey Graham, I believe still in the active duty as a military lawyer, said, quote, there's no substitute for the A-10 anytime soon. Senator John McCain has openly mocked the idea of replacing the A-10 Warthog's close air support with the B-1, arguing that the bomber costs $54,000 per flying hour, while the A-10 costs just $17,000. The fact is that the B-1 is much more expensive. It flies at a high altitude and attacks static targets. That does not fulfill the mission of close air support as I know it. Now, God bless Lindsey Graham. God bless John McCain and others, because they actually get it. Lindsey Graham saying, I will fight vehemently to save the A-10 because the ground troops really need it. I hope, and I'm sure Senator Crapo, Senator Risch are joining the fight. And it was interesting hearing the governor's comments. The governor is a diplomat. The governor, you know, saying, well, if the A-10 goes... And then he said it took, what, 12 years to get rid of the F-4 Phantom? He'd like to get the F-35. I'd like to get the F-35, but let's face it, let's keep what we have. And it's funny, and I'm sure this is brought up by some lobbyist. A few months ago, I looked at savetheA10.com, and it was available as a domain name. Now it isn't. This is something that we should all get behind, whether you're in the military or not. The right move, in Idaho and America is to save the A-10. It just makes sense. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Mike Tracy with us, political analyst, man of the media. Mike, good to have you with us.
Hey, Kevin, it's great to be here. Thank you very much.
We were talking off the air about this wonderful event that has happened, some great fundraising going on for the Boys and Girls Club. You've been involved in it. What? Tell us a little bit about it.
The Ada County Boys and Girls Club has their big club here in Garden City. They've done a great job. They take care of hundreds of kids every day. They feed kids every day. They make sure a lot of their different needs are taken care of. During that very dangerous time for young kids between 3 and 6 in the afternoon when mom and dad are not home from work yet. And not only do they have the club there, but they've started a club a couple of years ago in Meridian, and now they're trying to expand that and build a bigger clubhouse and a gym. And they had a big event Friday night, the 25th, at the Center on the Grove, one of the biggest events of any kind held in the center. They raised over $550,000 to help these kids.
Wow.
And, you know, to me, you guys were involved in that. There were a lot of different organizations, but the people give the money. You and I talked about that. The people in this community are so generous.
Right.
In one night to raise $550,000 for one cause to help kids. And for a lot of these kids, my wife's a teacher, and a lot of the kids, the only meal they see during the day is that free lunch that they get. The Boys and Girls Club also provide a meal at 4:30 in the afternoon. So for some of these kids, they get their two meals, one at school, one at the Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, these kids, they're really doing some great stuff for these kids, and they keep them out of trouble, which is really a good thing for the whole community.
Yeah, our friend Mark Johnson, I guess, he must have been working really hard to MC the event.
Yeah, Mark's a piece of work. You know, he does a good job with it, and, you know, his heart's really in it.
It can hold a tune,
and
too.
He can, more or less, yeah. Mark's a good guy. His heart's in the right place with the program. And, Channel 7 and Mark Johnson and groups like yours, Town Square, a lot of different companies, organizations, and individuals come together to make this thing happen. And, you know, I'm Colleen Braga, who is the executive director over there, had to have been thrilled with the final numbers and what was happening. And it really shows how great our community is. I mean, the Idaho Gives Day is another example just recently that we had last week. We see that over and over again. Idaho does give, and Idaho does care about its people who are in need.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the primary coming up. Has this been an atypical primary season?
It has. One of the things I've seen, I've been watching and following absentee ballots, for instance. They seem to be way off, even though there's been what's been known as a major push piece out there. Absentees seem to be soft. Interest seems to be soft. But that's always true in an off year, an off presidential year. The interest is soft, but it seems to be softer this year. Now, you never know till election day. I mean,
right.
you just can't predict what's going to happen. Well, there's weather, there's all kinds of things. To me, the big determining factor is going to be how focused is the Tea Party group and their affiliates. How focused are they going to be in getting out their vote? Because I think that's going to be a real strong deciding factor, as it was in 2010.
580KIDO, our great friend Mike Tracy with us. Well, we've been at the epicenter of that, and you talk to those folks, and they are very passionate. They're very, you know, fired up and ready to go. Could that be enough to offset a possible third term by the incumbent governor, who, whether you like him or not, very popular? He doesn't have a problem with name recognition. Some would have been wondering, the inside skinny folks that listen here, have been wondering why they haven't seen more ads, more of this from Governor Otter. You're figuratively, you're inside his camp. Evaluate how he's run this race.
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, they look at internal polls, and if you're not seeing a lot, it's generally a pretty good indication that that there's still a pretty good gap. If there was real concern, and they always run hard, you'd see a lot more advertising in terms of radio and television. We just saw Russ Fulcher go up with his TV in the last week, and his radio just went up in the last week. So they're going to be making their push. And you're starting to see Governor Otter's TV and hear his radio. I don't think you've seen the big push because the numbers, their obvious internal numbers, must show something that is making them make certain kinds of decisions.
Right.
Whereas the Simpson-Smith race, much different. They've been battling it out since last year. I mean, they started last summer, early fall.
Right.
They started throwing daggers at each other, especially the Smith camp with Club for Growth. It was it's been pretty brutal. I haven't seen anything quite like this in a while. It's that particular race has been pretty brutal.
Before you distract me with the shiny object of the Simpson-Smith race, I still have to go back to the Governor Otter campaign and Senator Fulcher. Okay, so internal polling may say one thing. Now you talk to the Senator Fulcher people, they feel very confident, and it's not that phony confidence. They seem that they've got their people raring to go. How would you judge how they've run this campaign? Many people thought it would be more in your face, and I won't give you the run-on question, and I've got a follow-up for you.
Well, I think what they've looked at is they just looked at issues, and they've had a couple of issues that they've been hanging their hat on. One is the Obamacare, the Idaho Care, whatever you want, Otter Care, whatever you want to call it. They not particularly like that, and I'm not a big fan of that either. I don't like the federal government coming down and telling me what to do, and I don't want them forcing the state to have us tell us what to do. And there's a lot of people that are upset about that, but there are also certain things that where you have to follow the law. When certain things pass the Supreme Court and your hand is forced.
Sure.
So you've got that. And then the other big issue is the economy. I mean, the economy is still pretty sluggish. I mean, we do have growth, but we don't have the kind of growth that we should. And, I think some of the things that, Russ Fulcher is offering are interesting. But just saying, let's take more federal lands and generate more revenue and more wealth from that is very difficult. I've been working on projects like that for over 25 years, War on the West, Sagebrush Rebellion, et cetera, et cetera. It's been going on for over 35 years in the state of Idaho. It's very difficult to make it happen. The feds are not going to easily give up that land.
And we could go on and on about that because we've got the folks in Salt Lake. We've got Speaker Betke involved. But I am trying to be focused here at 580KIDEO with our great friend Mike Tracy. Okay, final question with Senator Fulcher, Governor Otter, Senator Fulcher, the debate issue. That was brought up. It seems that Dan Popke is the only guy covering any type of race here. You've had experience with Mr. Popke. A, is the press covering this race at all? And B, what about the lack of debates?
Well, it's not unusual for the incumbent to avoid debates. You're in the lead. You're not going to give your challenger additional time to have face-to-face time. That's pretty standard. When I was working for the senator, we did one debate. We offered our time for some. We might do two if there was a real. We thought there was a need, but it's not unusual, and it's pretty standard operating procedure for the incumbent to only do one debate. And the challenger always complains about it. They always put press releases out about it. That's also standard operating procedure. They're avoiding me. They're not, they don't want to talk to me. They don't want to get face to face. But this is normal. I mean, this is standard operating procedure in political campaigns and debates.
Let's move on to the Simpson-Smith race. Both sides are getting outside money, spending a lot of money. One would say that Mike Simpson never gave Brian Smith a chance because of the deluge of negativity. But can that have the reverse effect when we're talking about this primary election? Can people get too much of the Brian Smith, he's a debt collector, evil trial lawyer, bad guy?
Well, certainly we've seen how negative campaigns can generate negative results for the incumbent. It happened to Walt Minnick in 2010 with Raul Labrador. Raul Labrador's name ID was not very high on September 1st, 2010. By November, early November, his name ID was through the roof because Walt Minnick had run probably $500,000 to $1 million of television ads blasting away at Raul and saying what a nasty person he was. And we all saw the results. Raul won that race pretty handily. And I'm not saying that that is going to happen, but people do get tired of the negative. They do want to see positive things. They want to hear positive things. They want to hear real points on issues. They get tired of the blah, 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 I'm a good guy, blah, 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 this is an important issue. Well, what are you going to do about the issue? Give us something concrete. That's what people want to hear, and they want to hear something truly hopeful that can work. You know, they're tired of hope and change. Hope and change didn't work.
Right.
They want hope and reality.
Right.
Is what they want, and they want a mix of it, and how do we get there, and what steps are we going to take to get there?
Mike Tracy with us at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Okay, without getting yourself into too much trouble, does Smith have a chance here? I mean, how close is this, just judging on what people are telling you?
Well, I haven't seen any numbers. I think, you know, anytime.
But you talk to people.
I do. Yeah. I do. I think that Smith has a chance, but I think it's a slim, very slim chance. I think that Mike has a pretty solid record with what he's done and how people perceive him with his constituent service that he's done in his district. But even more so, I think some of the attack stuff that has come out against Brian Smith has been pretty damaging, stuff that most people didn't know.
Do you hear the radio ad, 99% foreclosure rate or something? Ridiculous thing.
Well,
bankruptcy.
When you talk, there's people have an attitude about attorneys already. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys. So my, you know, apologies ahead of time here to my friends who are attorneys out there listening. But bottom line is there's already a negative attitude toward them. And then you get people who are in the business of medical foreclosures and things like that. That really makes people angry.
Right.
And when they see that and they hear it over and over and over again, that casts a shadow on this guy that before those ads ran, I knew little or nothing about the man other than he was from the Idaho Falls area and he was an attorney. That is essentially what I knew about the guy because he had not been involved in politics. And I've been involved in Idaho Republican politics for over 25 years. And so, you know, for those to be the only images that I know about him, that's going to be very hard for him to overcome, especially considering Mike Simpson has such a strong base of support. It's going to, you know, the Tea Party folks are going to vote for Brian, and it really, again, comes down to how big is the Tea Party turnout. That's going to be the big question on May 20th.
Well, they're all listening now. Their ears are burning here at 580KIDO. Mike Tracy with us as we continue on. And normally, we would take a look at these other races and go, but let's take a look at a race that you're involved in, and that is the Secretary of State's position. Very well qualified candidates. How is this shaping out?
Well, it's it's really a name ID race. My sense, based on some just rough numbers that we've seen, is that 80 to 85% of the people in Idaho cannot even name one of the candidates.
It might be a good thing.
That is what that tells us is between now and May 20th, which is less than 2 weeks away. Name ID is going to be everything because you haven't seen a lot of negative or positive on candidates. You've seen attempts to get some name ID out there, and there just isn't a lot of name ID, and that's going to be the challenge. And on the 20th, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to go, well, I know this name.
Right.
It's a name I know. Check.
Okay.
And that I think we're going to see. And then there's also going to be a lot of what we call undervotes. People are going to see the four names and they're going to go, I don't know any of those people. I'm not going to vote for that one because I don't know them.
Mike Tracy with us for two more minutes at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Okay, let me hit you with this. Quickly now, let's take a look at the primary to succeed Tom Luna. I saw the debate on Channel 5 plus 1, Channel 6, and wasn't really impressed with any of these people. This is an important position that a lot of people fear may go to the Democrats.
Well, certainly you've got four unknown people. And they really were. And here's four more people that I did not know And again, I've been in politics for a long time. These four names showed up. I went, who are these people? And they literally, you know, I had to learn who they were. There's one individual who's kind of sort of started to surface as a front runner, Andy Grover, you know, for a variety of reasons. Most of it's inside baseball. But again, I would say 80% of the people out there, if you ask them today, can you name one of the candidates that's running, they would say no. And then, as you pointed out, the Democrats have a really strong hand because Janet Jones only lost by 1.5 percentage points against Tom Luna in 2006. So she has strong name ID. People are upset with what the Republicans have done within education to a certain degree with Tom Luna and the Luna laws. There's some of that angst out there. So whoever wins in the primary is going to have a real battle in November. That's going to be a place where there actually will be a real fight between a Democrat and a Republican.
Final thought. We've got 30 seconds left. The Attorney General's race.
That's an interesting race because Strupas has been out there he's been out there and done a lot of things over the years and been successful in some of the things he's done. Lawrence has done some things that are not always popular and not always popular within the party. And this is a primary again.
Right.
So, you know, you've got most of the conservatives, you know, the moderate to conservative group are out there voting. And it looks, you know, if voter turnout is going to be as low as I'm thinking it's going to be fairly low. This particular year. I might be wrong. There's a lot of prognosticators out there, but interest doesn't seem to be high. People are not talking about it. When I ask people who's in the race, most people, they go, Butch Otter's in the race? Ms. Butch? I mean, people know the governor's running, and that's about it. So it's really going to be a challenge on any of these races.
Mike Tracy, we appreciate it. We'd love to have you back.
Okay, thank you very much, Kevin.
You're listening to 759, 580-KIDO. Coming up next, Fox News and remembering Velma Morrison. Keep it here. Serving Meridian.